Here's a question for you this morning. Who or what are you prepared to say goodbye to in life? Who or what are you prepared to say goodbye to in life? Good morning and welcome to Lawn Community Church. A warm welcome to anyone visiting us for the first time today. It's great to have you here with us. As part of our current teaching theme, we'll be looking at the fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, or the book of the Apostles, as it's also known. And now those of you who are old enough, and I might have to have another show of hands here, we'll see. But those of you who are old enough may remember the group Paper Lace, who had a hit with the single Billy, Don't Be a Hero. There's a few responses to that. Put your hands up if you remember the group Paper Lace. If you are, you must be as old as I am. Judy, I'm surprised you don't remember them. Probably because you were into Lindisfarne at the time. Yes. The group Paper Lace, who once had a hit with the single Billy, Don't Be a Hero, and the chorus went something like, Billy, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life. Billy, don't be a hero. Come back and make me your wife. And those of you who do remember the hit, I don't think there's many of you here who do remember the hit single, will know that Billy does try to be the hero in the song, and spoiler alert, he dies in the end. That was only a song, though. That was only a song. In real life, in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, around 2,000 years ago, God called his people to be heroes. Namely, Barnabas and Paul. God said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. God called his people to be heroes. In the previous chapter, chapter 12, it's recorded how God called Barnabas to travel the long distance from Jerusalem to Antioch. As religious revival was breaking out in Antioch at the time. Oh yeah. And later on, Barnabas travels even further to Tarsus, in what is modern day Turkey, to find Paul. And when he finally finds him, Barnabas insists that Paul comes back with him to help him, and to help the early church, to help all these new Christians in their newfound faith. And as recorded elsewhere in the book of Acts, Barnabas and Paul, spent at least a year in Antioch, and it seems as if they had one of the best years of their lives, and that's putting it mildly. And then God intervenes. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. We're now going to take up the story at the beginning of Acts chapter 13. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the New Testament and to the fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, and the beginning of Acts chapter 13. The words are going to appear on the screen overhead. But I know that Rachel is kindly going to come and bring our reading to us. But it's Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 1.
When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. Strong stuff. Again, I ask you, who or what are you prepared to say goodbye to in life? In the reading that Rachel very kindly brought to us, we learnt how Barnabas and Paul, having had a great year at Antioch, helping the early church, were then required to leave it all behind and go elsewhere in the service of God. Barnabas and Paul, along with everyone at Antioch, knew that they would probably never see each other ever again on this earth. And remember, this was long before the advent of things like Skype and Microsoft Teams and Zoom and things like that. They all knew, on all sides, they all knew that they would be very likely to be saying goodbye to each other for the very final time. Who or what are you prepared to say goodbye to in life? Does it depend on what we're saying goodbye for, the reasons why we're saying goodbye for? When we commit ourselves to following Jesus in life, it is a case of taking up our cross and following him. And there will be a cost. However glorious things got in the book of Acts, there was still no room for comfort and luxury for God's people. However memorable many moments were in the life of the early church, there was always the understanding that to be a follower of Jesus could even be to sign your own death warrant. It was dangerous. There were deceptive spirits at work. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 6, as Rachel read, there was a sorcerer who was a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. And translated into English, Bar-Jesus means of Jesus. Bar-Jesus means of Jesus. Now, a Jew named Bar-Jesus does sound like someone who must be close to Jesus Christ, you'd think. Yet he was a false prophet. Barnabas and Paul were very quickly having to deal with challenges like him and their sense of loss and pining for Antioch was probably very real. Is God calling us to give up something, maybe everything, to follow him today? Back in the Gospels, back in the book of Matthew, chapter 19 and verse 27, one of the disciples says to Jesus, in fact, he confronts Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? And it was Peter. And Peter, in that instance, vocalized something that most followers of Jesus have thought themselves, at one point at least, throughout time immemorial. And Jesus replied, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Probably like many of you, I can remember becoming a Christian much younger in life, and I can remember how challenging it was to have to face giving up things, sacrificing things, perhaps maybe saying goodbye to people and situations as a follower of Jesus. And I can remember as a young man, when I was young, free and single, having lots of conversations with other people, maybe at work and elsewhere, who were young, free and single, and they would ask me all sorts of questions about relationships and things like that. And I would tell them quite freely what I was giving up, what I was saying goodbye to as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. And I got a great deal of opposition for it. I got a great deal of abuse and anger when I told people my beliefs, my feelings about sex outside of marriage, for example, just to give one example. And yet at the same time, I can remember being at work in Essex and working amongst some very, very attractive Essex girls, beautiful women, who would ask me the same questions as well and say, "How can you do all this? You know, why are you doing all this? Just to be a Christian?" But later on, some of them on the quiet, some of these Essex girls would come up to me and say, "You know, John, deep down, we really admire you. If only there were more blokes like you." And these would be stunningly beautiful women who were really coming face to face with what it means to be called to be a follower of Jesus, at least in those conversations. Jesus said, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." In the book of Acts, Barnabas and Paul are required to give up the wonderful things that they're experiencing and be obedient to God elsewhere. Today, God is calling his people to be heroes for him and do what they wouldn't otherwise normally choose to do themselves. At the moment, issues in human sexuality have a very high profile. In many churches of all denominations, not least. And at the moment, issues in human sexuality are dividing some churches right down the middle, tragically. I believe that right now, amongst many other things, God is calling his people to be brave, to deny themselves, to potentially sacrifice their rights. Not least sacrificing maybe their much treasured theologies. And once again, return to the Word of God and return to what is taught in the Word of God. And the Word of God has much to say about this particular issue. The Word of God has much to say on nearly all issues. And in the Word of God, in the Bible, there are often mentions of eunuchs. And then, and now, a eunuch was a male who was unable to father children naturally. A eunuch was a male who was unable to father children naturally. Now, a eunuch could be a homosexual, or a eunuch could be heterosexual and impotent. A eunuch was a male who was unable to father children naturally. Whatever the reason, the Word of God addresses this, and yes, it requires a degree of sacrifice and obedience. In Isaiah 56, God speaks to all such men. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. To those who are obedient to the Lord and to the Word of God, he will honour. The Lord is looking to his people to live like heroes, like Paul and Barnabas. However, we may not be called to travel the world and contend with dangerous opponents of the gospel, like sorcerers and witch doctors and clairvoyants and all of that. When it comes to sacrifice and self-denial, the Lord may call us back to that which we once knew, or call us to things that appear to be mundane and rather unexciting. Often the Lord will call one of his people to devote their daily lives to maybe caring for a loved one who is seriously ill, or to caring for a child born with a major disability. And the Christian caring for somebody like that will have sacrificed their careers, their dreams, their ambitions, to remain at home to care for the other person, because that is what God is calling them to do. Calling them to be very much a hero in the everyday. Here's a question for you. Who or what are you prepared to say goodbye to in life? Jesus did that exactly 2,000 years ago. Jesus, God in human form, gave up the glories of heaven to take the form of a human being, at first the form as of a very vulnerable innocent child. And Jesus, God in human form, came to earth, said goodbye to heaven, to come to earth to rescue us and to redeem his creation. Yeah, Jesus had to say goodbye to heaven and to his heavenly Father. What am I prepared to say goodbye to in life? From Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is your true and proper worship. Now, Paul and Barnabas, chapter 13 of Acts. Do listen out for the call of God to be a hero. And he might call you to some unusual and unexpected things, unexpected places. Amen.